Today's shiur is Masechta Chagiga Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yotes Amud Beis, the third line. Hatayv L'chulin, Hochzik L'chulin. Our Mishnah taught us that if somebody goes to the mikveh with the intent of becoming tohar for chulin, it only will be effective for chulin. It will not be effective for a higher level of tahara. Meiser, Truma, Kodesh, Chattas, being identified in the Mishnah as the five levels of Kedusha, for Shmira, for Tahara. What the Mishnah did teach us, however, was that if one has in mind the highest level of Kedusha, then obviously a lower level is included. But when the Mishnah taught us the din of intent, the second din taught in the Mishnah of Atayv L'chulin, Zos L'maisa, and so on, the Mishnah identified five levels of Kedusha. Chulin, Meiser, Truma, Kodesh, Chattas. Mani Masnisen. So says the Gemara, who is the Tan of the Mishnah that identifies five levels? It represents Rabbanan. It represents the Shita of the Rabbanan. The Shani Lu ben Chulin LeMeiser. That according to them, Chulin and Meiser are not considered the same level, and therefore they're considered separate categories. Asked the Gemara, Amos Seifa, let's learn the next case of the Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah also taught us halachas about different levels of Kedusha, of Tahara. And the Mishnah said, Big day Amaretz, Begdish Leprushin. That somebody is careful to eat his chulin with Tahara, he has to be careful that he can't use a garment that Amaretz sat on or could be used for sitting, because there's a concern that that garment is Tameh. Then the Mishnah said, Big day prushin, the garments that are used by people who are careful to keep their chulin b'tahara, are medrash loich l'truma. Somebody who eats truma can't be comfortable, can't use that beged, because that's to be concerned that it's not tohor enough for him. But the Mishnah skipped a step. The Mishnah skipped a category. It went from chulin to truma, and not separating between chulin and maisa. Whose shita does that represent? That represents the Shita of Rameya. Because if we will recall, when we learned the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis quoted a machloikis between Rabbanan and Rameya. According to Rabbanan, there's a difference between Chulin and Meiser. We spoke about washing hands, when you have to wash your hands, for what situations, and the Rabbanan are the ones that differentiated between Chulin and Meiser. Rameya didn't. So our Mishnah, the second case, represents the Shita of the Rabbanon that differentiates between Chulin and Maisa, and the next case represents the Shita of Rameya that doesn't have separate categories between Chulin and Maisa. One Mishnah says the Gemara, Reish Rabbanon, the safe Rameya, is that the situation? Says the Gemara, yes, that's what we have to understand our Mishnah. We have to understand that the first case is going according to the Shita of the Rabbanon, Reish Rabbanon, that separate between Chulin and Maisa, and the next case represent the sheet of Rameya that doesn't, and that's why there isn't a separate category. Rav Ach Bar Ado has a different way of answering this question. He says, Masmala b'sefer chom meishmalas. He inserts one more category in the last case of the Mishnah. He does insert the category prushin, which means chulin, then meiser, and then truma. So then the last case of the Mishnah is consistent with the previous case of the Mishnah. They both speak to five categories. Just to review, Chulin, Maisa, Truma, Kodesh, Chattas, and Mukala, Kulamas, Nisik, Rabbanon, and the entire Mishnah represents the Shita of Rabbanon that indeed separate between Chulin and Maisa. We have, as we said a moment ago, identified five categories. But there's another situation. There's a situation called Chulin Shenasu al Taras HaKodesh, which means that the food is Chulin, regular plain food that we eat. But there were people who kept their food chulin shanas atar sakadish. They treated their food, which was the regular food that they ate for their meals, on the same level as if it was kodesh. Why would a person want to do that? A number of reasons I saw. One reason I saw in the Rishayim is quite simple. If a person wants to make sure that his house is always on the highest level of tahara, he'll eat everything on the status of Kodesh, and like that he knows that everything is on the highest level. Another pshat that I saw is that when a person is going to eat kodesh, when they're going to eat kabbonis, that they certainly have to keep ataras kodesh. That's not a luxury. That's not a chumrah. That's what the halacha requires. So in order not to have to keep cheshvin, this food is kodesh, so I have to eat it on this level. This food is regular chulin food. I don't have to eat it on that level. This food is truma, this food is meiser, and every food has its own separate status. They kept everything the same way, and you don't have to have any complications. Another pshat I saw in the Rishayim, why somebody would want to live this way, it's very restricting. Why would somebody want to live this way is because he has ingredients in his home. He sells or gives to people that bring kabbonis, so they need to have those food items available to them on the status of Taras HaKadosh. And again, because it's getting confusing, you're going to have ingredients that you sell or give to people that are doing Kadosh, and you have ingredients that you have for your own private consumption, not on that level, it becomes confusing, so he kept everything on the highest level. In fact, I saw the Rishayim take this a step further. These Gemaras that we're learning, unfortunately, are not that relevant nowadays. We don't live in a world of Tumah Tahara. But were relevant even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They still kept the halachas of Tumah Tahara even though they didn't have a Beis Hamikdash. Say the Rishonim. So now one would suggest, if there's no Beis Hamikdash standing, why would anybody keep food out Taras HaKadosh? There's no Kadosh. The people live with an emunah. They live with an emunah that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt any day. And when the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, they're going to have back to the status of Taras HaKadosh. So even though it wasn't at all relevant to them on the day-to-day, no Beis Hamikdash standing, they kept it up because of the Amunah. There's a sefer called Degel Machna Ephraim that takes this concept of Chulun al Taras HaKadosh and explains it somewhat homiletically. He says, you know, the Gemara says, Sichas Tamid HaChamim, Sichas Chulun Shal Tamid HaChamim Tzricha Limud. Even when a Talmid Chacham is not saying Yishir, is not talking Divrei Torah, but it's also Torah. That's, he says, is the concept of chulin ataras hakodesh. We can have chulin, simple food. It's just the food that I'm eating for breakfast, lunch, and supper. But what a Talmud Chacham, what a tzaddik does, is that he infuses that food ataras hakodesh that it have kedush on it. So not a Gemara's question. Not a Gemara. Rameri makes the following observation. Amar Rameri, shmamina chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh kekodesh tami, food that's people treat like on the status of Taras HaKadosh, even though the food is not Kadosh at all, has the same status as Kadosh. Our Mishnah is a proof to that principle. Mamai, how do we know this? If there would be a new status called Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh, this is the way the Chazanish explains the Gemara. So why, when we're developing and identifying, as we did a moment ago, the different categories in our Mishnah, didn't we identify a category called Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh? It must be, because Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh is Kadosh. And since Kadosh is already in the Mishnah, there's no need to mention Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh. So says Rav Meri, our Mishnah is a proof that Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh has the same status as Kadosh, otherwise it would have been identified as a separate category. Says like Tanabamal, it's not identified as a separate category. Ask the Gemara, why are you saying it's a proof? But Dilma Haid like Tanabamala, the reason the Mishnah didn't identify it as a separate category is not because it's the same status as Kodesh. It's not that significant. Di Domla Truma, Hatani Truma. Maybe it only has the same status as Truma. But Truma is already mentioned in the Mishnah. V'dami l'chulin. Perhaps it has the same status as truma. And hatani chulin, chulin's already mentioned in the Mishnah. So it's not to say that chulin shanasu ataras hakodesh has the same status as kodesh. It doesn't have the same status as kodesh. It perhaps the same status as truma. Perhaps it has the same status as chulin. And they already mentioned the Mishnah, so this doesn't have to be mentioned. As we learned in the Mishnah, or Braisa, in Masech Techulin, Chulin shanasu ataras hakodesh, harein kechulin, the Tanacham holds its chulin. So it's already not Mishnah, and the chulin case. So we have no proof from our Mishnah. It could be that Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh does not have the din of Kadosh. Why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah? It is. It's included either when we mention Truma or it's included when we mention Chulin. So the Mikdash David explains the Gemara very beautifully. He says, how can we have a Shaila if Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh is kodesh. If I have food that's chulin, and I want to treat it like kodesh, who could stop me? Why should anybody want to stop me? I want to do it. Am I doing anything wrong to anybody? What's the shaila? So he says, certainly if a person wants to eat his food that's chulin, and he wants to eat it on the same way as you treat kodesh, everybody has a right to do with his food what he wants, as long as it's halachically acceptable. Here's a Gemara, says the Migdash David, Lomdus, he says. Here the Gemara is really trying to talk deeper. The Gemara is not just asking, what could I do? How could I eat? Eat how you want to eat. The Gemara's question is, if chulin shanasa taras kodesh could be actually treated as a piece of kodesh. In the yeshivish sprach, is it called a heftz of kodesh? Is it considered like a piece of kodesh? On one hand, I want to treat it like kodesh. On the other hand, it's not kodesh. So the question is, can the halacha, can my wanting to eat it this way, give it that kedusha? So the man dama holds chulin shanasa taras kodesh dama. He says, yes, it's my food, I could treat it any way I want. The other man dama says like this, kodesh, as we learned and will learn, could go up to a revi, go up to a very high level. And if what it means is that let's say you have something which is a shlishi, it has the ability by kodesh to give off tuma further, to transmit tuma further. You can't create that kind of a din. If it's not kodesh, it can't transmit tuma further. That's why that man, the omer that holds the chulin shanasa taras a kodesh, laf kodesh is not kodesh, says you can't make something which is halachically unable to transmit tuma and to transmit it. However, by chulin or by truma, even by a shlishi, it doesn't go further. It's posel, not tamei. That's why it could be like truma or it could be like chulin, but that's why it can't be like kodesh. Not because I can't treat it that way. You could treat it any way you want, but to give it that inherent kedusha is not possible. So now what we're up to is that we have no more raya, it seems, from Mishnah. So the Gemara, perhaps from the raya that we wanted to bring, the chulin shenasa taras kodesh kodesh tamei is not a successful raya, but there's another raya from the end of the Mishnah and the Masefa. What it's saying, the Sefer, the Mishnah, Yosef ben Yezer hayu chosich bekuna. Yosef ben Yezer was a very pious kohen. Vayis matachto medrus l'kodesh. He kept his truma tahor, but that was the level of his shmira. And as we explained, kodesh requires a higher level of shmira. Hence, he didn't watch it to that extent. It was considered tamei for somebody who's kodesh. But now we get to the proof. The next case the Mishnah referred to was the next individual, was Yochim ben Gudgoydoy, hayo oichel ataras ha-kodesh kol yomav. He used to eat all the food that he had, even his chulin food, he treated it like kodesh. And the Mishnah says about him, vayis matachtoy medrus l'chatas. Since, as we learned in the Mishnah, the chatas water from the Eifer Paro is even a higher level of kodesh, so it was considered kodesh for kodesh, but it was considered shomer. It was considered adequately protected for tahara, for kodesh, but not for chattis. For chattis it wasn't considered shomer. L'kodesh lai, but for kodesh it was considered protected. Even though the food wasn't actually kodesh. So what do we see? Alma, kesava, even though you have food that itself is chulin, but it was nasua, taras ha-kodesh, it was made for that level. It's kodesh tamu. It's considered the like kodesh because the proof that Yochim and Gagodi, all of his food, even his chulin food, the fact that he treated it like kodesh was enough that it should have the status of kodesh. That's the proof for America bring from our Mishnah that chulin shenasa ataras kodesh kodesh tamu. Says the Gemara further, Aram Yonasim and Alozim, Nafam Afarto Himeno. Again, we have to try to put ourselves into the way they lived. They lived in a world of Tomei Tahara, and not just food is Tomei Tahara, but everything can be Tomei Tahara, people and their clothing. So somebody has a beged. Mafartoi, the closest touch I would say, is a cape. So they had to keep their clothing tahara. So Nafal Paratoi Menu. And as the Chazon Ish tells us, as we begin to learn the sugya, he says that one of the concepts of watching that we've been discussing is Hesach Hadas. If you don't constantly pay attention, you have a situation of Hesach Hadas, and it's no longer considered Shomer. So if I'm wearing a cape, enough of my party man, and my cape falls down, I'm a chaver, so I ask my colleague, Tanali, and give it to me. Please pick it up and give it to me. V'nosin loy, and he indeed does it, Tameya. it becomes tamei. The Gemara is saying, and we're going to try, the Gemara is going to try to explain why, that this is considered a situation of hesach hadas. Another situation. Amar Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram. Nesaf lo kelim sheshavs bekelim shechol. I have two jackets in the closet. I have a jacket that I wear during the week. I have a jacket that I wear on Shabbos. And I want to take out my weekday jacket, and maybe it's dark, so I take out the wrong jacket. I accidentally took out my Shabbos jacket instead of my weekday jacket. Also, it's considered a situation of Hesach Hadas. Another situation. We had two women that both were Chaveris. As we've explained, Chaveris means people that were careful in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. They went to the bathhouse and they got their clothing mixed up. And now the question is this clay, are they considered still shomer? Each one of these women individually is a person that's makbid. Or brought ma'aseh lefnei Rav Akiva, betiman. Rav Akiva says, it's tamei. Considered hesach hadas. Maskla Rav Ashiya. Says Rav Ashiya. What we're creating here, Rav Ashiya says, is a situation that unless you have such a perfect high level of shmira, it's never considered shmira. And he gives an example. Amata, hush yada lito lasa, lito pas chitel, v'also b'yada pas ayim. I have a basket of bread. And there's different types of rolls there. The rye rolls, and the rolls made out of flour, and the rolls made out of barley. It's all rolls. And I want to eat a rye roll. And I accidentally take out a barley roll. Hach nami nitmas, because we're saying it has to be perfect. This is not perfect. V'chitayma, and perhaps you'll say, says the Gemara Hachinami, if it's not exactly perfect, it's not going to be considered shomer. It's going to be considered a situation of hesach hadas. Ask the Gemara, v'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, ha-mesham hesach chavis b'chesk v'shalyayin. I assume that this is a barrel of wine, v'nimtze shel shemen, and it turns out it really isn't wine, it's really oil, tahara milatame. It's not tame. Why is it not tame? Because what's the difference if it's wine or it's oil? So Al-Gamar asks, but that isn't consistent with the first three halachas we learned. In the first three halachas we learned that if the shmira was compromised in any small way, it's not considered shomer anymore. Here, we're saying that it was compromised. I thought it's wine and it's oil, and the Braisa said it's not a problem. So there's a gevaldige kasha from Rabbi Kivega. Kivega asks, this question that the Gemara is quoting this Braisa, that the Braisa says that if somebody got confused and he thought that the liquid in the basket, in the barrel is wine and it was actually oil, doesn't affect the Shmira, is a kasha on the halachas we learned. Why did the Gemara have to insert in the middle the case of the mix-up of the bread? The Gemara should have right away gone with a kasha. Here we learned three cases that any type of mix-up compromises the Shmira, and this Braisa shows us that a mix-up doesn't necessarily compromise the Shmira. What was the point of the Gemara bringing in the story of the rolls? It's not a Braisa. He should have asked the kasha from this Braisa on the three dinim that we learned. But Kivega doesn't answer the kasha. He stays with a kasha. I saw a sefer called Meridachia. He says a beautiful teretz to this kasha. He says, of course the Gemara did not have to bring in the story of the rolls. The Gemara could right away ask the kasha. The Braisa is certainly not consistent with the dinim that we learned. But the Gemara is teaching us how to learn. The Gemara is teaching us how to ask a kasha. The Gemara taught us three dinim. All three dinim taught us that if there's any small diminution of the Shmira is no longer Shmira. Ask the Gemara if you're going to take that line of reasoning. So then you should say that if you mix up the rolls, it's also not good anymore. Which al pi svara makes no sense. If I put my hands into a basket, if I take this roll or that roll, does it really make that much of a difference? If you're going to live that kind of life, you can never have a shmira. So first the Gemara asked the kash from a svara to show how it doesn't make any sense. After the Gemara said that the svara doesn't make sense, then the Gemara says, not only al pi svara does it not make sense, here's a braisa that shows you that what we're saying doesn't make any sense. So teaching us how to learn. First you have to think. And then after you think, it's even noch besser, it's even better if you bring a raya to show that you're thinking on the right way. Says the Gemara, if we're going to quote that braisa, let's learn the rest of that braisa, the braisa of the wine and the oil. L'tameich eim a seifa. Vasur malachal. You're not allowed to eat that. You're not allowed to drink or eat that mixed up wine or oil. Ask the Gemara, Amai, if we're saying that it's considered shomer, so it's fine, so I should be allowed to drink it. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Shimatiya Medava HaMetama, Ovelay Medava HaPaisla. Very big chiddush. What now the Gemara is teaching us is, you could have a partial shmira. And what the person had in mind, here was, that it should not become tamei. He watched that it should not become tamei to the degree that it could give off tamei, but he did watch it to the degree that it should not give off tamei, transmit tamei further, but he did watch it to the degree that, did not watch it to the degree that it should not become pasul. So therefore pasul it is, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it, but tamei it is, and it doesn't transmit further. So as the Chaznish tells us, look what this price is teaching us. There were two flaws here. Number one, I got mixed up. I thought it was wine, and it's really oil. Number two, I had a partial shmira. I only watched it that it shouldn't be able to come tamei to transmit tamei, but I didn't watch it that it shouldn't be able to, it should become partial. Yet it's considered a good shmira. And says the Gemara, Vatanya here, umi ikun nitaros lapalga. Is it possible to have a partial shmira? Says the Gemara, in. I'll prove to you you can. Vatanya, hoshi jada basal. Somebody put in his hand to a basket. Vasalik sefer, and the first say the basket's on my shoulders, so I am watching it. From a grave of betoich hasal, and there's a shovel in this basket. The shovel was used that when the fruit got stuck together, they could use that shovel to separate it. For how you believe by alasal, I intend to watch that the basket not become tamei. For lo how you believe by alamagrefa, but I didn't watch the shovel. So the halacha is, and they're in one basket. You have the basket and the shovel in one container. And I'm watching that the sal shouldn't become tamei, and I'm not watching that the shovel shouldn't become tamei. So the halacha is a sal tor, the sal remains tahor, from a grave for tameya. Hasal tor, ask the Gemara, hasal tor, how could you say that the sal tom? Titnam am a grave. If the shovel is in the sal, and I'm not watching the shovel, so that's where the shovel is tamei. So why isn't the shovel going to make the sal tamei? They're touching. Answers the Gemara. Ain't clean metama kli, because the halach is one keli can't be metama another keli. Ask the Gemara, v'lo metama mash basal. Besides having, besides the basket and the shovel, you have fruit in this basket. So if you're not watching the shovel, why shouldn't we have a situation that the shovel will make the fruit tame? V'lo metama mash basal. Why isn't the magrefa that I'm not watching metama the fruit that's in the sal? Answers the Gemara, because Amar Ravina, b'mati shmata medavish metama v'loy medava paslay, that I say that I didn't completely ignore the magrefa. I only watched the magrefa to the degree that it should not become tamei, that it transmits tamei, but I didn't watch it that it shouldn't become pasul. So it doesn't give off tumma because that far I watched. But it does become pasul because that far I didn't watch. What do we see? Back to our sugya. That partial shmira is possible. But going back to our kasha, we see that just because there's a mix-up, I thought it was wine and it's really oil, doesn't mean that the shmira is compromised. So why in all the cases that we spoke at the beginning of the sugya, where there was a mix-up, do we feel that the Gemara say that the shmira was compromised? That's one kasha. We come back from kasha. We have that kasha. Now the Gemara asks another kasha. Void mice of Rabbi Baravua. Mice of Isha Achshabol of Nei Rishmol. There was a woman that came to Rishmol. Vomel Rabbi Begedza Rakti V'Tahara. When I was weaving this Beged, I was Tahar. V'loi Haya Balibi L'Shamra V'Tahara. I didn't watch it afterwards. What is the status? Because the halacha is that a beged is not mekabel tumah until it's 3x3 atzbos. So she says, as I was preparing it, I made sure that everything is fine. Afterwards, I stopped watching it. So what happened was, Om b'tarich b'dikah shor b'shmo batka, so b'shmo began to examine her. Armala, what came out from the story was that she said to him, Rebbe, Nida mashchem mi b'chevel. There was a woman who was a Nida that that will help me move this beged. And the halacha is that a nida is matama tumas hesed. And that's how the beged became tamei. Amar Bishmol, so Bishmol exclaimed, Kam gedoylim divrei chachamim, how great are what the Chazal said, shoy oimrim beliber l'sham retar, ein beliber l'sham retamei. Chazal said that if she doesn't watch it, it becomes tamei. If you do watch it, it's tahar. You see how right they were, because when this wasn't watched, it became tamei. So the way the Chazanish explains the Gemara's question is beautiful. If we're saying that Hesach Hadas makes something tamei, if we're going to say that Hesach Hadas makes something tamei, so what's the difference if another person, if another Nida did schlep with her, didn't schlep with her? There was Hesach Hadas for sure. After she finished preparing the beged, nobody was watching it. If our Gemara is teaching us that Hesach Hadas, that if you're not actively doing a perfect shmira, it's not considered any more shomer, so what's he quizzing her? It wasn't watched, for sure. So what must be the din? That just because you don't have a perfect shmira, doesn't automatically make a tamei. So how could Ava Gemara at the beginning of this sugya said that any time where you had anything less than a perfect shmira, it's not considered shomer anymore and becomes tamei? The same type of question was asked another way. Shuv Maisa. There was a woman that came to Bishmol. When I prepared this, I guess like a tablecloth, I was careful to do it with Tahara. But I didn't watch it after it was finished. And again, Rabbi Shmuel began to examine her. And the Mefarshim explained why was the purpose of her examination. The Meiri says this. The Meiri says that the purpose of the examination was they was trying to show that it wasn't only Tamei because there was a Suffolk. Is it Tamei, is it Tar? It was Mamish Tamei. As I was preparing this tablecloth, one of the threads of the tablecloth snapped. So I wanted to knot it together. But to make a knot, I used a little saliva to make it wet. And the halacha is that the saliva of a nida is Tamei. So what happened here is Rashi explains it as follows. The saliva of a nida is tamei, but it came in with time as something that's not a beged. But what happened was she finished preparing the tablecloth, now it's a beged. That thread was still wet from her saliva that she put on the thread, and now it's already a beged. So her saliva makes a tamei. So Rishmol again commented, Kama gedoylim divrei chachamim, Rishmol, kama gedoylim divrei chachamim, shayayim beliba l'sham retar, ein beliba l'sham retamei. So again, we have the same situation. What do we see here? It's only because it actually became tamei, as was identified as a tamei. But if we hold that hesach hadas, that if you don't have active shmira all along, it's not considered a shmira, so then why does Rabbi Shmuel have to say this? There was hesach hadas. That itself should disqualify it. So how do we explain all the cases that we began this sugya with, that just because there wasn't perfect shmira, that the Gemara say was tamei? So Gemara says, some of the cases could be explained. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, kol achas v'achas emeris, chavarti eishes ama'aretz, o maschad dat mina. What was the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik? We had a situation where there were two women in the bathhouse, and their garments got mixed up, and now what woman A has woman B's garments and vice versa. When woman A realizes that this is the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara. When woman A realizes that these are woman B's garments, she says to herself, you know, this we always do this. We right away try to assess what status the other person is. She says, that woman, she's probably not a person that anyways makpid and tumah tahara. So she says, if she's not makpid and tumah tahara, I don't have to watch this garment because this woman is not makpid. And the same vice versa. So that's why the shmira was compromised. The same case, Rav Yonasan ben Amram, Nami, Kivin the Kehom v'Shabbos, Ovele Shimet Tvei, Masach Dat Menayu. What was the case that he referred to? Where I took out my Shabbos jacket instead of my weekday jacket, but I thought is my weekday jacket. And again, as the Rishonim explained, the people, and we see this in different examples throughout Shas, had kept a higher level of religious observance on Shabbos than during the week. So people on Shabbos were more makbid on watching their begadim from becoming tamei than during the week. So this person, taking out a jacket from the closet, erroneously thinking that it's his weekday jacket, so he's now watching it on the level that it's a Shabbos jacket. And that's why it's Tamei, because the Shmira is a lower level Shmira. And that's what the Meiri correctly says. Let's say there were two jackets in the closet, both either Shabbos jackets, or both either weekday jackets, and I want the one Shabbos jacket. I took out the other Shabbos jacket. I want the one weekday jacket. I took out the other weekday jacket. But they're both the same level of Shmira. Then Rav Yonos and Ben Amram's din wouldn't be relevant because both of them are the same level. The issue is because the Shabbos jacket is watched at a higher level of Shmira than the weekday jacket. But now let's go back to the first case. Eller Rav Yonos and Ben Elazar. In the case of Rav Yonos and Ben Elazar, Namel Shiva B'Yodei, what was the case? Where I dropped my cape, and I asked you to pick it up. So why is the Shmira compromised? Navale Shmira b'yad d'chavrei. So what's the difference if I'm holding it or you're holding it? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Chazaka ein adam mishamer mash b'yad chavrei. That if you're holding something, you're not going to watch it properly. Shmira has to be done by the owner, or as we'll see in a moment, by the owner's designee. But if I didn't specifically designate you to watch my thing, then it's not going to be watched properly. And Shmira must be done properly. Otherwise, it's not considered Shmira. That's why when I ask you to pick up the jacket, you don't watch my things, and therefore, you can't do the Shmira properly. In fact, there's an interesting Michas Chinuch. Michas Chinuch says, this Gemara is the basis, says the Michas Chinuch, for a very interesting Shaila. The halacha is that when matzahs are made, so there's a lot of labor involved in making matzahs. The Torah says regarding matzahs, Ushmat mesa matzahs. You have to properly do shmira on the matzahs. And Al Gemara says that shmira is not something that comes automatically. Shmira is something that you have to do actively. You have to have intent to do shmira. So he says, therefore, the halach is you're not allowed to let a non-Jew work at the matzah bakery because they can't do shmira. And Al Gemara is saying shmira doesn't happen by itself. Shmira has to be done actively. So that's why he says that you can't have non-Jewish workers. There are always shilas coming up in the bakeries about this, that doing any aspect of the matzah baking. The truth is, and he probably didn't have the sefer, the Meiri already discusses the shila. If Al Gemara could be a proof about non-Jewish workers in a matzah bakery, because Al Gemara says that shimer could only be done by somebody who's going to do it and that doesn't happen by itself. And he first says, it seems that that's the proof. But then he says he can't compare the two cases. He says that the Shmira of Tumat Tahara is different than the Shmira of Chometz. Shmira of Chometz is that you just have to watch. It's really just watching that nothing bad happens. Shmira of Chometz means is just watching that it doesn't become Chometz. Shmir of Tahara is not just watching that it shouldn't become Tameh. Shmir of Tahara means that it should remain Tahar. So it's a very different type of Shmira. Here it's watching that something should remain. Here it's just watching that something shouldn't happen, and you can't compare the two cases. The Chasam Sofer has a very interesting mahalach to the Shaila. The Chasam Sofer says there are different stages in the preparation of matzahs. In some stages of the preparation, you just have to watch that the status quo remains. In other words, as long as you have flour. If you have flour, nothing can happen to your flour unless something is done to it. So there, the Shmira is a much simpler Shmira, and anybody could Shmira. So if you have a warehouse of flour, he says you don't have to have a Jewish watchman, and you want to make sure that nobody brings any water into that warehouse that would make the flour chametz. So you just want to keep the status quo, and there's nothing under the normal circumstances that would disturb that status quo, so it remains Shomer through anyone. However, once you're already putting water on the flour, that means once you start baking the matzahs, so at that point it's much easier for the matzahs to become chametz because it's already exposed flour and water. There you have to have somebody who's a bar shemer, and anybody else would not be able to do the shmira, and you would only have to have Jewish workers. Ask the Gemara, v'loi, is it true that something of mine cannot be shomer by you, but Tanya. Harei shayu chamor v'poyalim tunim taharis. My donkeys and my workers who are amei oritz, Rashi tells us, are carrying my tar food. Even though there's a distance between them and I, tyros of tyros, they remain tar. However, says the Braisa, if I told my employees, l'chu, you could travel, so he separates himself from them, and he tells them that you don't have to be worried that I'm going to show up any moment, then the halach is, once they and I are separated, tyros of tyros. So what do we see here? That even though that they're watching my thing, they're Amei Aretz, it's still Tahar. Why? We just said that somebody else can't watch my item, especially when they're Amei Aretz. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, says Rav Yitzchak B'Yafcha, here's referring to a situation, Reisha B'Metach Amar V'Polov. It's not just that I left my materials with these workers, my food with these workers, who are Amei Aretz. Before I left it with them, I made sure that they should all go to the mikveh. So since I made sure that they all should go to the mikveh, so it's like Tardiga people are watching it. Says the Gemara, Ihochi Seifanami, if the case that this Bryce is referring to is that I made my workers go to the mikveh, so even when I'm distancing myself from them, why doesn't it remain Tahar? Answers the Gemara, if I was sure that the only people that will be touching these food items are my workers, and I know that I made sure that my workers should all be tar before I let them handle these materials, it would be fine. The concern here is that the workers aren't on my level of observance, so they'll have colleagues, friends, relatives who are my arets. I'm going to come, and they'll say, you want to touch? Touch, I don't care. And they will be the ones that mitamet, not my workers. My workers are fine. I'm worried about the status of their colleagues who they may let touch. So the Gemara, if we're concerned that these workers of mine may let their friends touch it, so why in the Reisha don't we have that concern where I'm not distancing myself? Says the Gemara, I tell my workers, you have to go to the mikveh. And they go to the mikveh. They're tahor. What's our only and I also tell them, don't let anyone else touch it. What's the concern? The concern is that they will let their friends or whoever who are Amei Aretz touch it. But they know I warned them not to. And they know that I could come derech haklasim, I could just show up pisoy, suddenly, unannounced, and they will be caught. That keeps them on guard. Yehochi seifanami. So in the safe also, why isn't there that mercies, that concern that will keep the workers from not allowing their friends from touching these materials? Says the Mark, even the Amalhu, Lechuva and the Ova Achrechem, that I tell them, I'm going distancing myself from you, so they know I'm not coming. So they're not worried that if one of their friends comes, they're going to, don't let him touch it, because the boss may show up and be angry, I told you not to. Because they know I'm not coming. They're comfortable that I'm not coming, and since they're comfortable that I'm not coming, they're going to allow their workers, their colleagues to touch it, and the colleagues who did not go to the mikveh will be metame these materials. Actually, there's a tshuva from the Zakan Aaron and the Miches Yitzchak, say that this Gemara is really the basis for the way we give Ashgachas nowadays, the way we give Hasherim nowadays. We're not in the plant all the time. Not in most situations, we don't have a Mishgiach Tamidi. What is the situation? That we could come any time. But the Zakan Aaron says you have to learn the Gemara. He says, what is the Gemara saying? We have to create an environment that we don't have Mismach Samchid Datayu. What is Mismach Samchid Datayu? Is that the workers become comfortable that I'm not coming. What is the level of Ashgacha that's required? Says the Zakan Aaron, the Gemara is teaching us. It has to be a level where the workers in the plant don't become comfortable saying the rabbi is not coming. Because once it's a level of Mismach Samchadatayu, so our Gemara says, then we have to be worried that the Amei Aretz are going to let their colleagues touch it. So if we want to identify as close as possible what is the level of Shmira, what is the level of Mirsis that has to be established, it has to be established to the degree of Mismach Samchadatayu. And if you look into the Rishonim, the Ramban says a very interesting thing. The Ramban says, let's say we'll be talking about a situation where I don't tell him I'm not coming. Not the case where I tell him I'm the Ovach Rechem. And they think I could come any moment. But they're in a place where if I come, they'll be able to see me. The Ramban gives an example like this. Let's say there are a number of workers that I have. And they're all stationed in different places. So anyway, the Gemara says, I could come derech a klasoin. I could come in a surreptitious way, and you'll never know, I'll just show up. But let's say that becomes impossible, because any direction that I'm coming from, there'll be somebody that could see me. So even if I don't give them this reason to believe that I'm not coming, says the Ramban, it's already not considered derech a klasoin. So again, what we're saying here is that to be able to rely on such a system, we have to have a case that the mirsis, that the element of surprise, is a very, very significant one, where nobody gets mismach samchad detayu. They get comfortable that they have nothing to worry about. Because once they get comfortable that they have nothing to worry about, they can do whatever they want, because they're comfortable. Hanu l'chein darshan, hanu l'chein darshan, hanu l'chein darshan.